Very few people in the world have the ability to tell this story. I'm one of them. Not because I'm an incredible storyteller, but because I grew up in the home of a carpenter, Joseph ben Heli ben Matat, and his wife, Mary. I grew up with Jesus and James, and that is what makes me one of the very few.
Obedience is not a highly valued trait in a modern culture that emphasizes self-centeredness. Growing up around Jesus, both James and Jude learned from Joseph and Mary to value obedience.
My name is Jude, a shortening of the common name Judas. About the only thing that most of you know about me is that I wrote the one chapter book in the Bible that's placed just before Revelation. The book is named after me, but I suspect that few of you know what is in the book, and fewer of you have ever quoted a verse from it. It only takes a few minutes to read, and you'll find some very interesting information in it that's found nowhere else in the Bible. You may see some similarities to 2 Peter, and you may notice that I use some of the apocryphal writings as sources. Jesus was quite a bit older than me. As one of the younger ones, I was expected to learn as much from anyone older than me than I did from my father. Naturally, I hung on every word that Jesus said. But often he wasn't around, and that meant I spent a lot of time with James. Kids. We all know how they can be. Have you ever wondered whether Jesus was ever disciplined? It's kind of a funny thing to consider. So I won't tell you for sure, but I will tell you that one of the reasons that God picked Joseph to raise Jesus was because he was the type of father who would be willing to correct Jesus if he needed it. Joseph certainly believed in the proverb, "Whoever refuses to discipline his son hates his son, but he that loves his son will discipline him diligently." So I won't tell you any details, but I will tell you that timeouts had not yet been invented. My brother James was the quiet, authoritative sort. He didn't waste words, and I was expected to obey him just like I would have my father. So we were poor, but he had a heart for those in our village who were worse off than we were. I mean, he loved to go with the adults as they took food to the poor of our village. And then as an adult, he'd often fix their houses and not charge anything. Life in our little mountain town of Nazareth was calm and peaceful. We could look to the south and watch caravans traipse down a spur of the important Via Maris trade route. We could look to the southwest toward Mount Carmel and over the Jezreel Valley. We knew that we could start walking east and be at the Sea of Galilee before a day went by. We even had our own town synagogue where the men could go and study the scriptures in peace. And that's where the trouble started. See, Jesus had not been gone very long when word started filtering back that he was able to perform miracles and was teaching some radical ideas about the scriptures. We were just anxious for him to come back and show us a hometown boy that went away and did well. One Sabbath, he showed up in our synagogue as if he had never been away. As was the custom, when it came time to read the scripture, it was offered to him as a guest. I had to smile at the irony when he read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Good news to the poor. I mean, when he read that, my heart just swelled, thinking of what a great job Joseph and Mary had done teaching him that. It was a part of him. And you know the rest of that story, as well as the rest of the story of his life, so I won't go into that now, but I think you're starting to get the idea of how Jesus' obedient nature and heart for the disadvantaged was formed. It was in our house by Joseph and Mary. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, when Jesus looked at a poor person, he was looking at his parents. When Jesus looked at a widow, he was looking at his mother. And when Jesus looked at an orphan, he was looking at one of our neighbor's children. Literally, when you help one of these types of people, you are helping Jesus. If you think about it, you have very few facts about Joseph and Mary. Even if you know the Bible perfectly, right? You can't know how old Joseph was when he died, or if he had brothers or sisters. You can't know if they ever lost their temper or were always perfectly calm. You can know that they were poor, at least when they were first married. And you know this because of the type of sacrifice that they gave for Jesus, their firstborn. But the most important thing that you can know about Joseph and Mary is that they were obedient to God. Every reference to them shows them as being fully and completely obedient to God. And you can be sure that Jesus was taught to be completely obedient as well. You know that about Jesus because his whole life was one of obedience. One of the first descriptions about him as a very young man was that he was obedient to Joseph and Mary. One of his first actions when he went to preach was to obediently get baptized, even though he was sinless. At the end of his life, Jesus summed up his entire reason for being on this earth as, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do." Joseph and Mary were both from the house of David, and this was one of the driving factors in their thought process. Jesus knew all of the ancestors on both sides of the family. And in the scriptures, he loved the books talking about David or written by David or Solomon, the Psalms and Proverbs. All of our relatives were always distinctly aware that any firstborn son could turn out to be the Messiah. Not likely, but possible. I mean, you might have noticed in the New Testament that there was never any doubt that Jesus was of the house of David. Joseph and Mary were not trained theologians by any means. They made every effort to keep their beliefs simple and consistent with their actions. And one of the ways that they could make things simple was to be very clear with their definitions. Mary would always simply say things like, "Always do what you're supposed to do." I mean, how simple. Obedience is always doing what you're supposed to do. And their personal examples showed the decision rules for obedience. First, the commands are inviolate. You cannot break the commands of God. Second, there are godly guidelines to get you through your life. Proverbs are an example of those. Third, no matter what else you do, learn to know the Spirit and to follow Him. Wisdom is when you know how to do these types of things and you do them. Folly, when you don't. James was highly influenced by his childhood, but he was also equally influenced by being a long-term leader of the Jerusalem church. There is nothing like watching a friend or relative starve or be tortured to death to shape your stance on theological issues. Just ask my brother James. Now that you know a little bit more about him, you could probably understand why he thought the way he did. He knew that obedience was the bedrock for living a life of faith. I've selected some passages for you from his little book that illustrate the things that I've talked about. Perhaps you'll see them in a little bit of a different light than you might have before. "Don't deceive yourselves, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in the mirror, for he beholds himself, and then he goes his way, forgetting what kind of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But above all things, my brothers, don't swear, not by heaven, not by the earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, or risk falling into condemnation. I mean, that is such great writing, isn't it? You can tell that he knows the Psalms and Proverbs by heart. I am so proud of my brother. And I'm so honored to have been born into the family of a simple carpenter, one of the few, and that I have the chance to share my story and tell others about the good news. I feel chosen. And you know what? You're chosen too.